Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
That was the introductory song from Kember entitled Black Renaissance. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to, well, happy Sunday, first off. Welcome to another Indie MRL Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We have, as usual, some topics to go into tonight, and one topic is going to be a new topic. That's been all over social media and the news this past week. It's on Colin Kaepernick, spelled K-A-E-P-E-R-N-I-C-K. Kaepernick, I believe that's how it's spelled. I'm not a sports fan, so I don't really watch sports. Therefore, the name is strange to me, and I hope I pronounced it correctly. Excuse me. And then our next topic is going to be a topic that we would have had last week if I had been on, but I had a situation, so to speak, a good situation. Everything is taken care of, and it was like a one-shot deal, so to speak, so had to get with it. And as I said, that second topic is going to be black police or the black policeman. And our third topic is going to be Trump, that is Donald Trump, that clown who's currently running for the presidency for the Republican Party. Out MFing wages. Anyway, again, welcome to Urban Society, and it's good to be back, and we'll get right into our topics. But first, I want to also make a report on the weather. It is currently, well, the month of September, early September, and as we know, well, the weather is cooler now than what it wasn't, but that's a good thing, but then again, not a good thing. It's a good thing that the weather is cooler than what it wasn't because it is cooler. Not a good thing because we are approaching that horrible time of year, winter. Can't stand winter. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of this season, winter. I can't stand it, but it's coming. And again, like last year and like all years previous, it must be endured. Wow. Anyway, so as I said, our first topic is going to be on Colin Kaepernick, and I have a few articles here that I want to read off into the show concerning this issue. And the first article that I want to read off into the show is it says here the title is "The NFL is 67% Black. Diversity hasn't helped white players and coaches understand racism." And the article starts off by saying, "Colin Kaepernick's public protest against racial injustice has been intensely debated over the past week on social media, in editorials, and on sports radio. But it's the response from inside the NFL to the San Francisco 49ers quarterback's refusal to stand during the national anthem at last Friday's preseason game against the Green Bay Packers that perhaps been best or most revealing." Having read that like that, I'm now wondering if he had been sitting previously to the media's picking up on it. That's just a wonder. Well, the way they wrote this, as if the media just picked up on it. Anyway, the article goes further to say that Kaepernick's stance and the tactics he used have been harshly criticized by NFL players, owners, and coaches. This pushback will likely continue as he repeated his protest Thursday night by taking a knee during the anthem before the 49ers played the San Diego Chargers. The article goes further to say that proximity to African Americans doesn't guarantee understanding, empathy, or even respectful deference, even in a space like the NFL, where white athletes are outnumbered by black ones. This conversation has been a reminder that no matter how ideal the conditions for compassion, understanding, or support when it comes to acknowledgement of the existence of racism and assessments of appropriate responses to it, many white Americans cling to the privilege of keeping their own scoreboards. It goes further to say, like a subtitle here after this paragraph. It says why it's noteworthy that so many of Kaepernick's NFL colleagues turned against him. I guess that's what they're saying, that a lot of the NFL players aren't down with what he's doing. And based upon some things that I've heard via the media, haven't really watched it much, but I've been reading up on it, and black as well as white players aren't really happy with what this guy Colin Kaepernick is doing. The article goes on to say that there is a persistent American cultural myth that competitive sports represent a post-racial utopia where objective measures of merit and success are clearly identifiable. The football stadium is often characterized in Hollywood and sports commentary as a promised land where racial differences among players, fans, and coaches are rendered irrelevant. Sports are widely lauded as tools to break down barriers, to bring people together as teammates and fans, and to foster understanding. While these claims are widely overstated, as documented in a book, they are based on a kernel of truth about the opportunities athletes can provide for cross-racial interaction. In a world where a 2014 study showed that 75% of white Americans do not have a black friend, white people on the NFL payroll, whether it's players, coaches, or owners, are likely to have more intimate, collaborative daily contact with African Americans than are most of their fellow citizens. Despite all of this, for many of Kaepernick's white peers and colleagues, his expression of despair over patterns of racialized police violence that often goes unpunished didn't resonate. The New York Giants' Justin Pugh, who plays for a team representing the same city that witnessed the police killing of unarmed black men, Eric Garner, and Sean Bell, tweeted, I will be standing during the national anthem tonight. Thank you to all, gender, race, religion, that put your lives on the line for that flag. He later acknowledged, I've never walked in his shoes either, so I don't know what he goes through. But what stood out was that he characterized the issue as one of difference of opinions. The article goes further to say that some guy, I guess another football player, another football player whose name is Tiki Barber, that's T-I-K-I, Barber, B-A-R-B-E-R, and Jerry Rice, have been critical of Kaepernick's protest. But the remarks take on a different tenor and a different historical significance when white athletes condescend to his activism, self-positioning themselves as arbitrators of what constitutes an appropriate response to racial injustice. For example, Alex Boone, I imagine he's another football player. Yes, Alex Boone, a member of the Minnesota Vikings, called Kaepernick's behavior shameful, demanding that he show some respect. Never mind that there's no consensus that sitting during the national anthem is disrespectful. Never mind that Kaepernick was voicing his concern over societal disrespect for black lives. The selective deployment of criticism here also speaks to underlying priorities. It's worth noting that Boone has no such negative commentary about the killing of Philando Castile, a black man who was shot and killed in July by a police officer at a traffic stop in Minnesota, the same city where Boone plays. It goes further to say that former 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh spoke out as well, saying, I don't respect the motivation or the action. He would later apologize for misspeaking and clarify that it was only the action that troubled him. The article goes further to have another subtitle. It says, the armchair quarterbacking of Kaepernick's tactics is fueled by an assumption that the white American experience is standard. The article starts off again by saying the same guy, Harbaugh's critique of Kaepernick's tactics, mind you, an entirely peaceful protest, echoed what has been a popular response. Drew Brees, a member of the New Orleans Saints, a team that plays its home game at the Superdome, a mere 1 hour from where video captured police officers in July shooting and killing 37-year-old Alton Sterling while he was pinned face down on the ground, similarly weighed in on Kaepernick's choices. He says, I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. Not that he wants to speak out about a very important issue. No, he can speak out about a very important issue, Bree noted. But there's plenty of other ways that you can do that in a peaceful manner that doesn't involve being disrespectful to the American flag. Seeing his experiences and views about the flag and anthem as universal, Bree fails to reflect on how his own life experience differs fundamentally from his African-American peers. If he did, he might have contemplated the idea that despair over racial injustice can exist hand in hand with respect for the flag, and that drawing attention to racial injustice is in no way a slight to the country or the military. The article goes further to mention veterans for Kaepernick made perfectly clear that there was nothing offensive to the military about his demonstration. Bree's critique represented an all too common assumption that his white experience was standard. Excuse me. The article goes further to say that, like these white players and coaches, many white executives who also work alongside black peers seem unable or unwilling to hear Kaepernick, to see his protests, or to recognize the issue he is shining a spotlight on. It goes further to say the lack of diversity with upper management, and the entrenched whiteness of these spaces contributes to an environment where, according to Bleacher Report, an NFL executive said in an interview about the reaction to Kaepernick's protests that he hasn't seen this much collective dislike among frontline office members regarding a player since Ray Carruth. Carruth is currently incarcerated for conspiring to murder his girlfriend. Okay, I'm going to have to halt the article there because we have to go into our first music break. It's now currently 15 minutes to the hour. And we're going to have our first song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. Lydia Caesar, her song Lifted. We'll be right back.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for ya. Yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lip. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull up some tricks. And I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch. Loving like, ooh. He know I can never get enough. My favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want the ordinary love. Oh, no. I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. My fairy on euphoria. I want more of ya. Baby, take me every higher. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Yeah. So lifted. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Baby. For a sweet lips, the way we kiss, body like ooh, strung out on his fingertips, with every grip I fall deeper into you. Cause men I want no ordinary love, oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way, and I know to make him feel some type of way. Every time you come around, I get so lifted.
Welcome back to Urban Society here on India Morrell Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. Our caller number here is area code 914. My mistake. My area code here in New York is 914. The area code here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038, and when you do call in, if you want to talk, do press 1. Okay, so returning back to the article that I was on concerning Colin Kaepernick, I was lastly reading about how the, I guess the executives of the NFL or of this team, the San Francisco 49ers, aren't pleased with Kaepernick's tactics or his demonstrations. Anyway, the article goes further to say that these same executives reportedly see Kaepernick as a traitor. They see him as a traitor to whom or to what, but that's another issue. Anyway, it says that the vitriol highlights how diversity is hollow without a commitment to interrogating blind spots created by whiteness and a dedication to fostering societal transformation, whatever that meant. But anyway, reading right along, these reactions fit a pattern that's bigger than the NFL. in a moment where unarmed black victims of police violence are often blamed for their own deaths and where denials and deflection that result in the criminalization of black corpses have become commonplace. These reactions mirror a larger refusal to see the truth about inequality, racial segregation, systemic racism, and entrenched injustice. That's the theme echoed in Kaepernick's critics who invoke the election of President Barack Obama, Kaepernick's salary, or the fact that he was adopted by a white family as proof that racism no longer exists. In short, the criticism has embodied white America's ultimate race card, racism denial, or more so, racist denial, or better said, the denial of racism. The article goes further to say, white privilege, which has since has made its way into mainstream discussions of race, white privilege, in the context, white privilege is the power to do nothing while criticizing from the safety of our communities and homes. White privilege is the ability to condemn how others protest their own oppression, all while absolving ourselves of any sort of responsibility. White privilege provides a choice whereby we can take or leave White privilege provides a choice whereby we can take or leave the worldview that challenges our own, and so often we choose to leave it. The article goes further to say, Pew, these are the people whose name I just read in this article here. It says this guy Pew, Hardbow, Breeze, and Clay Travis, who called Kaepernick an idiot, are the ultimate reminder that diversity and breaking down social distance doesn't guarantee understanding, compassion, or support for movements toward equity. The invisible knapsack, that is white privilege, remains available and provides them and all white Americans white blinders, earplugs, a Rolodex of excuses, and a megaphone to shout our conclusions. In the debate over Kaepernick in sports and in the broader world, it gives us a sense of entitlement to question how others work toward change, and worse, to deny that change is needed at all. So evidently the author or writer of this piece, this article, was a Caucasian guy, a white guy. But at least he was more on point than not. And he even threw in the new phrase, white privilege, which I feel is only a euphemism for racism. Because all white privilege does is just describe aspects of racism or aspects of, one, the racist mindset, and then, two, it in fact I'll use the word, it in fact delineates the privileges that are accorded to an individual basically based upon their skin color. It's just racism, another word for racism, white privilege. And they have a whole lexicon. That's a German word for, they have a whole area of words that describes white privilege, which is doing nothing other than describing aspects of racism. Outrageous. I mean, got to learn a whole new vocabulary just to talk about racism in a nice way. Outrageous. But the thing is, nothing nice about racism, so therefore nothing nice should be said about racism, or racism shouldn't even be described in a nice way. But that's for white people. Caucasians would rather do it like that. A black person would call it what it is, some MFing nonsense. But anyway, moving right along still into this article, this situation of Kaepernick. You know, I have my own thoughts on this as well, which are... I'll speak some of them. First off, concerning standing or not standing for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, for myself personally, if I would be in a space wherein that would be required, I don't think I'd ever consider not standing and therefore doing what everyone else is doing. But I would say that if, I'll put it this way, if everyone else were to sit down or not stand, I wouldn't stand either. That's just me. I'm just like that. I don't take it all that serious as some people do. And evidently, as this guy Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, is taking it, because the way I see it, basically, I feel that it's actually doing nothing for eradicating racism. I don't see that. I really don't, because it's not going to stop police from killing unarmed African Americans. It's not going to stop white bosses from not giving black people jobs. It's not going to do that. It's not going to take any black person living in a impoverished, out of poverty. It's not going to do that. But see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I guess for Colin Kaepernick, it's something for him to do what he's doing. And for that, I would say God bless him for that. And I would say further, more power to him in doing what he's doing. But one thing for sure, that by him doing what he's doing, he has created a conversation, even if not the conversation that he wanted to have engendered or started. The conversation that has come up from his actions is some history about the Star Spangled Banner. And with the history of the Star Spangled Banner, that war of 1812 is mentioned, is being talked about. Whereas if Colin Kaepernick wasn't doing what he's doing, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We wouldn't be given a history lesson on the War of 1812 as news broadcasters are currently giving us. So, I mean, at least, we are being given information. I don't want to necessarily say educated, but we are being given information on a certain happening that happened in our history, which is a good thing, because it's better knowing than not knowing anything. And I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And then again, I mean, you know, like I said, so therefore the conversation that is being had isn't what Colin Kaepernick would want us to be having or would want the media to be putting out there. But see, that's how the media does, as I have said on previous shows. Whenever a serious issue comes up that needs to be discussed, and the media don't want to talk about the issue per se, they will pick out an issue within that issue to talk about, wherein the issue that they bring up to talk about don't mean nothing. It really don't mean nothing. Like I said, it's good for us to learn something about the War of 1812 if we wanted to know about it, you know, or it's good to know something about Francis Scott Key if we really want to know about him. And it's good to know about the fact that during the War of 1812, that the British had offered some slaves freedom if they would fight for the British side, and they did. It's good to know that. Again, if we really needed to know that. But that's not what Colin Kaepernick did this for. He wanted to bring the issue of police brutality to the fore, to keep it, you know, in the eye of the public, and police brutality, and also to speak about police accountability in the killings, the murders that they commit, because that's what they are, murders. Some say assassinations, same thing, negligent or racist police action. And the individual is dead. And as we know, in all these cases, the person that they killed wasn't armed. Unarmed, he or she was. But that's some of my thoughts on that. But again, I say, you know, more power to Kaepernick. But also, I also wonder, too, if his actions will actually take up traction in the sense that more players, sports figures, not just of the NFL, but throughout the sporting sphere or arenas of this country, if Colin Kaepernick's actions, again, will engender traction and more start to do that based upon, you know, the truth of what he's saying. Again, I mean, we don't know if anything can really change anything, but just the mere fact that it might, Colin Kaepernick's actions, it might become a situation wherein, well, we can very well imagine, let me just say this first off, we can very well imagine that the Star Spangled Banner will not cease to be played at sporting events, nor, well, they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance anyway, but anyway, we can very well imagine that the Star Spangled Banner will not cease to be played at sporting events, but who knows, through Colin Kaepernick's actions, protests, it may become optional to stand or not stand. It may become a, how can I put it? It may be, well, it might harken back to our First Amendment right. No, that's the freedom of, well, yes, freedom of assembly and expression. It might harken back to that, and then based upon our First Amendment right, we can then exercise that right to sit or stand during the anthem. Because, like I said, to me, it don't mean nothing to me. I could just as well sit or stand. Because, I mean, hell, I might be tired when that national anthem start playing. And that song is, what, 2 or 3 or 4 minutes? That's the longest time to be standing up. But then again, in saying that, I got no disrespect for our country. None. I love our country. I love this country. I just feel that it's highly unfortunate that some criminals have hijacked our country, not just now, but in its inception. Criminals hijacked our democracy way back then, had black people as slaves, and then again, mouthing the slogan, the words that all men are created equal. And not only that, but in bring about the Constitution, freedom of assembly, freedom of expression. Black people didn't have any of that. So right there, our democracy as it should have been extended to us, hijacked, snatched away. So today, again, just in this small instance, even in standing or not standing for the Star Spangled Banner, that could be some kind of victory. Because, you know, just saying, something similar but somewhat different concerning standing or not standing for the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem, it's got nothing to do with respect or disrespect. It's just a choice that we should have. So I think in talking about what's taking place right now with Colin Kaepernick, a choice. We should have that choice to stand or not stand because it's a tenet of democracy. But anyway, I was going to say different. When I was in the military, I mean, every day at like 5 o'clock, they had a function that they called retreat. And at this time, you know, this is when, well, if you don't know, every day at 5 o'clock on every military base, the flag is lowered from the flagpole. But let me back up and say, but also every morning, the flag is sent up the flagpole. I forget what time that was. God bless. I'd have to be up there early to do that. But anyway, the flag is sent up the pole at a certain time in the morning, and every day at 5 o'clock on every military installation, wherever the flag is, it's supposed to be brought down from the flagpole. And in the military, you know, they blow the bugle, and that bugle sounds what they call retreat. That's the song, retreat, they call it. And the way it was in the military, they told us, we may fight for our democracy, but the military is not a democracy, people. And we always thought that was a serious contradiction, but another story, neither there. But anyway, the way it was, when they played, when matter of fact, even they would give like a minute warning some kind of a sound. I forget if it was a horn or a cannon went off or whatever, to let you know that retreat was about to be played. And when retreat was played, the lowering of the flag and that bugle blowing, wherever you were, whatever you was doing, you had to, if you were outside, you had to stop what you was doing. Even if you were on the basketball court or the nowadays the soccer field, when that bugle sounded retreat, you had to stop. If you were going up for a rebound, you had to let that rebound go. Let that ball bounce where it was going to bounce to and stand at attention and salute. Not head on your heart, but you had to salute. You know, bring your hand up to your forehead and, you know, well, the way they do the military salute, you had to do that. And that was required. There was no option there. Required, mandatory. I won't say you were forced to do it, but in a sense you were. Because if you didn't do that, you would be in trouble. Like, for instance, if someone were to see you during the playing of a retreat, the bugle playing that retreat song, and if someone, you know, standing there at attention saluting, seeing you just walking like you didn't hear it, oh, they would get your name quickly and have you reported. And then you'd be in some trouble. Because you have to explain to whomever why you didn't stop, stand, and salute the flag during retreat. You have to explain yourself. What was wrong with you? You know, that's the way it was. But God bless. I mean, you know, out here in the civilian world, we live in democracy. And it should be a thing about choice. But in there, no. You had better stop, stand, and salute when that bugle went off to lower down that flag. That's just the way it was. You know, but anyway, it's interesting, very much interesting. And I don't see it in any way as, I'll read on in this article here, something else here that I have. It says that concerning Kaepernick, it says 49ers teammate kneeled down during national anthem. It says here that while a naval officer sang the final notes of the Star-Spangled Banner and dozens of military members unfurled an oversized flag on the football field, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed dropped to one knee on the San Francisco 49ers sideline. With his silent gestures of protest, Kaepernick intends to keep drawing attention to a litany of American problems, and he's no longer alone. Kaepernick and Reed kneeled during the national anthem, ignoring scattered boos and angry shouts at Qualcomm Stadium at the Chargers salute to military preseason game. Up north in Oakland, Seattle Seahawks cornerback Jeremy Lane showed his support for Kaepernick by sitting on the bench during the anthem. And it has in quotes here, it says here that, "I'm not anti-American. I love America," said Kaepernick, who stayed on the field long after the game to sign autographs for enthusiastic fans. "I love people. That's why I'm doing this. I want to help make America better. And I think having these conversations help everybody have a better understanding of where everybody is coming from." The quarterback cited numerous reasons for his actions, ranging from racial injustice and minority oppression to police brutality and the treatment of military veterans. Okay, wait a minute. I think I have over-talked my allotted time to talk. I'm going to have to break off now and go into a music break. So let me get our song that we're going to be playing for the moment. So we're going to hear a song now from Mila J, her song entitled Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape. So again, this is Friends from Mila J. Here we go, and we'll be right back.
I remember when we started texting. I was playing it cool. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up.
boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing, blessing. Say to me, I've yes, but you guessed it. Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'll be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother hoes was about shit. And now you're gonna wish it's how I'm chasing me. Nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please. About it.
Go tell your
friends about it.
Go tell
them
about it.
Go
tell your friends what you seen, how wrong.
Oh,
go tell your friends about it.
About it.
Go tell your friends about it.
You thought you was a nigga fucking bitches. Now you wishing you was with me living life. Go tell. Even all your friends that I was cool with. They don't know that you be on that bull. You only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you used to say, have it over. Now you look so stupid. And it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless. And now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Welcome back to India Morel Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard the song from Mila J entitled Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape. That was Mila J, her song entitled Friends. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in, if you want to talk, do press 1. If you don't want to talk or ask any questions, just listen in. So, we're still on the issue of Colin Kaepernick. And as I was just reading there, I had lastly read where it says that the quarterback cited numerous reasons for his actions, ranging from racial injustice and minority oppression to police brutality and treatment of military veterans. Kaepernick intends to donate $1 million to different organizations to help these communities and help these people, declining to provide specifics. That's interesting. God bless him for that. Anyway, the article goes further to say that the message, well, it's in quotes here. It says, the message is that we have a lot of issues in this country that we need to deal with. We have a lot of people that are oppressed. We have a lot of people that aren't treated equally, that aren't given equal opportunities. Police brutality is a huge thing that needs to be addressed. There are a lot of issues that need to be talked about. Kaepernick wasn't earnestly booed in San Diego until he took the field to start the game for the 49ers, immediately leading them on a 16-play 85-yard touchdown drive against the hometown team. Amid his burgeoning social activism, he is also fighting for a roster spot and attempting to regain the starting job that he lost last season. When Kaepernick left the field following pregame warm-ups, he was greeted with profanity and obscene gestures from Leo, it looks like Uztegui, spelled U-Z-C-A-T-E-G-U-I. What a name, right? God bless him. And it says, this guy's a 20-year Navy veteran in the middle of, he's a 20-year Navy veteran. And they have his words in quotes. He says here, I was in the Navy, and I saw men and women bleed and die for this flag. If he wants to do something, go to some outreach program where he can do some good. And I get it, his First Amendment right, but you don't sit during the presenting of the colors, and you don't sit during the national anthem. This is not the way to do it. The article goes further to say that a sign in the crowd read, "You're an American. Act like one." But the article goes further to say that Dominic Bank, a 23-year-old fan from nearby Oceanside, California, got the quarterback to sign his Kaepernick jersey before the game. And it says here that this guy, I guess Dominic Banks, is in quotes. It says, I told him I appreciate what he is standing up for. He said he appreciated it. Most of the people I talk to say the same thing. I don't like that he's sitting during the national anthem, but I appreciate what he is standing for. Excuse me. Kaepernick was thrilled to be joined by Reed, the 49ers starting safety and a fourth year veteran from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Reed and Kaepernick decided together on kneeling rather than sitting during the anthem. And I guess they have this guy's words in quotes. He says, I just wanted to show my support for him. He wanted to make it clear that he wasn't trying to be disrespectful to the military or the national anthem. So he decided to change his position to be more respectful. In Oakland, it says here in Oakland, Lane, that's the guy I spoke about earlier, in Oakland, Lane sat on the bench behind his standing teammates before Seattle's game against the Raiders. Lane said he doesn't know Kaepernick, but was standing behind him. You see, maybe it'll be a snowball effect, and it'll hit more players and more players and more players, and, you know, we'll see what happens from there. The article goes further to say that it's something I plan to keep on doing until I feel like justice has been served, Lane said. No, I didn't tell anyone I was going to do it. I just did it. I don't mean no disrespect toward anybody, but I'm just standing behind what I believe. And the article goes further to say that Kaepernick doesn't intend his stance to be criticism of the military. When the Chargers' public address announced, let me get that right. Kaepernick doesn't intend his stance to be criticism of the military. When the Chargers' public address announcer asked fans to recognize active military personnel during a timeout, the quarterback stood and enthusiastically applauded along with his teammates and the entire stadium. And this is in quotes. It says, I realize that men and women of the military go out and sacrifice their lives and put themselves in harm's way for my freedom of speech and my freedom in this country and my freedom to take a seat or take a knee, Kaepernick said. So I have the utmost respect for them, and I think what I did was taken out of context and spun in a different way. That goes back to what I said earlier about how they put the spin, or more so, they put the War of 1812 in the spin, and they put, what's that guy, Scott Key. I forget his first name already. Somebody, Scott Key, it'll come back to me, but not right now. Anyway, they spent Scott Key and the War of 1812 in there and some black slaves who fought in the War of 1812 on the British side for their freedom. You see, he spun it, taken out of context and spun a different way. how MF enrages. But such is the nature of an oppressive society that is in denial about its oppression of citizens of its country. Anyway, Kaepernick's social activism, so the article goes on to say, Kaepernick's social activism, which only emerged publicly in recent weeks, also included support for the Black Lives Matter movement through social media. While negative reaction to the quarterback has been strong, Kaepernick also has been widely praised for his commitment to his stance. Veterans and military members tweeted their support for Kaepernick in recent days under the hashtag VeteransForKaepernick. And this is in quotes. It says, "It was something I was thinking about to make sure that I'm not just talking about something, but I'm actively being involved and actively trying to make a change in these communities," Kaepernick said. "I've been blessed to be in this position and be able to make the kind of money I do, and I have to help these people." God bless them for that mindset, because many people don't have that mindset. Many people only have the mindset of, "I got mine, you got to get yours." That's the normal mindset. But God bless this guy. And we'll see where he goes from here. And what I had to write concerning Colin Kaepernick, just a brief paragraph, because the media is talking so much. I was hearing via the media and things I was more so reading about how so many people were upset with what he was doing, and they were more so talking about all of the boos and the profane gestures and the negative criticism that was being given to him. However, I think, yes, I have seen via the media that they have shown a clip wherein a lot of people were asking for his autograph. And I thought, that's interesting. That's something new. But it was only one clip that I saw. The majority were people, you know, were talking, you know, negatively about what he's doing. Black athletes as well as white athletes, and black commentators as well as Caucasian commentators. But what I had written there, when I had seen supporters of his asking for his autograph, I had said, yep, the media would much rather talk of the boos and profanities hurled at this man instead of the admiration and cheers he receives. I admire his speaking up on the issue of police killings of African-Americans. Although his speaking up on this issue will change nothing, it's just good to see how, well, more so it's just good to see and know and hear that he's one of the few athletes in the spotlight who does so. Who'd be surprised if some racist police person makes this individual his or her next victim? It wouldn't be a surprise, but let us hope that won't happen. But we know the ways of our country. And I got another article here that I want to read off in terms of Colin Kaepernick. This is something, an article that I found on the internet. It's by some guy named Dr. Harry Edwards. And they say that he's a noted psychologist. Let me get it right. It says here that he's a noted psychologist and longtime advocate for human and civil rights. And it's also said that this guy is somewhat of a mentor to Kaepernick, being some kind of he has some kind of position with the 49ers, the football team that Kaepernick is a part of. And so no doubt this guy, I guess he gives players his advice on how to manage through the maze of whatever they're going through, like a big brother, father figure, so to speak, or mentor, more so. And this guy had written an article here, and his name is, like I said, Dr. Harry Edwards. And he says, in essence, the article says, take two to Dr. Harry Edwards, and then it says, he says that Colin Kaepernick isn't saying enough. That's what he says. But also, I had also read about this guy, Harry Edwards, that he also knew the 1968 Olympic runners who, when they had won the race and the medals and stuff, that instead of having their hand on their heart when the national anthem was being played, they had threw up the Black Power salute and had on, you know, a black glove, closed fist. And they caught a lot of flack from that, and not just then, but throughout their lives. they did. And the article that I had read had said that this guy, Dr. Harry Edwards, was back there with them as well, I guess giving them advice as to, you know, what to do in terms of social protests, even at that point in time. So he's been around for a while, this guy, Dr. Harry Edwards. And the article goes on. Let me start the article here. It says that the article starts off with him talking because he wrote the article. It says, my position on CAPE, he calls him CAPE, I guess that's K-A-E-P or CAP. My position on CAPE is that he absolutely has a constitutional right to express his opinion on the politics of diversity in America today. He is courageous, well-informed, and steadfast in his position. He is evolving through an awakening and perhaps really understanding for the first time, given his background, the true depth and scope of the history of anti-black racial hatred and injustice in America. And because it appears to have come to him through self-education, suddenly, as a stark, his response seems from afar more akin to that of a man startled awake to his house on fire than the result of a deliberately crafted articulation of a considered political position. Now, you know, me reading that, I'm reminded of a oft-repeated phrase or conclusion of a lot of media personnel after some horrific event, such as maybe, not maybe, but as the event that had taken place in Orlando, Florida, and that that idiot, lunatic, killed all those people in that nightclub. They were throwing out the phrase of when was he radicalized and was he self-radicalized? And I was thinking then, what a phrase. What do they mean by one being self-radicalized or more so self-radicalized? I mean, Well, just hearing that phrase, it's a wonder to me as to what they really mean. And then, too, if people listening know what that really means, to become self-radicalized. Because now they're using this phrase, in a sense, to this guy, Colin Kaepernick. And me having read just what I just read there, it wasn't stated like that. That he has become, well, actually it was stated that he has become conscious, but in society's mind or mindset today, to become conscious of one's situation in an unjust society is to become radicalized, and then to have become self-radicalized. It's not a good phrase, people. It's not a good phrase. And no doubt with that phrase, there's a whole lot within the mindset of him or her or those who have come up with that phrase. Interesting. So as I have read there, it says that his response seems from afar more akin to that of a man startled awake to his house on fire than the result of a deliberately crafted articulation of a considered political position. As to those outside of the sports fraternity who are critical of CAPE, I'm going to say CAPE, that's their opinion. Well, let me read that again. As to those outside the sports fraternity who are critical of CAPE, that's their opinion, and they are entitled to it. With regard to former/current players who are publicly critical of CAPE, such as Giants receiver Victor Cruz and Vikings offensive lineman, Alex Boone. I have much respect for them, and they too are entitled to their opinion. But given that they too are taking advantage of their forums as NFL players to oppose Cape, I would take their opinion on what Cape is doing more seriously if I could see their protest statements regarding Eric Garner being choked to death only a few miles from where Cruz practices and plays football, or on the killing of Philando Castile just outside St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and minutes from where Boone lines up to play football. I would really like to see their expressed opinions of outrage regarding the killings of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, or 12-year-old Tamir Rice in Cleveland, or 7-year-old Anaya Jones in Detroit, or Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida, and the scores of others who have died at the hands of police since 2012, and the senseless death of Oscar Grant on the BART platform in Oakland. Anyway, he goes on further to say, I love to see their protest statements on the systematic economic underdevelopment of black communities for generations by both government and private mainstream corporate interests, underdevelopment that has so devastated the institutional viability of most of these communities that crime and violence exist on the scale of pandemic public health issues. I eagerly await their records of protests over systematic anti-black job and educational discrimination, or over the institution of unconscionable rates of black male prison incarceration. And as to those who have the arrogance and audacity to bring up the old honoring of the flag is honoring our soldiers cliche, black soldiers have fought and died in every war that this nation has ever waged, and those who return home typically were confronted with the same old institutionalized abysmal levels of racism and radical discrimination, and at times with race-based hatred that was so virulent, so rapacious, that some were lynched or otherwise killed in the very uniforms they had worn, risking their lives and fighting for freedom abroad. And today the numbers of military veterans who are jobless, homeless, and in need of critical social and medical services, a disproportional number of them are African Americans, constitutes a morally and politically unconscionable outrage. Yeah, that's something there too. I mean, he said a whole lot there, right? But anyway, people talk about concerning what Canape is doing, that he's dishonoring those who fought, died, and even those who are currently serving. But at the same time, this guy brings up the fact that after World War One and World War Two, black veterans who made it back here alive would, walk around in their uniform as if actually we can very well imagine some black returning soldiers, veterans, walked around in their uniform in the hope that it would give them some protection from white hostility or white racism. But it didn't, because those cretins, the racists, they were hanging those black men in uniform. They had no respect for that uniform or for the men who served in it or for the flag in which they served under. Those men who hung those black men in uniform or just, mutilated their bodies for, just because of racist ignorance. Respect for the uniform, respect for the flag, respect for the nation. Where was that then? Nowhere. So he brought up a good point there. This doctor, what was his name again? Dr. Harry Edwards. I might have to read up on him. I just might. Anyway, he goes on to say, I would be very interested in their records of protests about these circumstances, since they are so dedicated to honoring our soldiers that they would caustically criticize Kaepernick for sitting during the national anthem. And all he's doing is sitting. He ain't killing nobody. Well, that's what I'm saying. All he's doing is sitting or kneeling. He ain't killing nobody. And also, just saying concerning him now kneeling with this other guy. Excuse me. I mean, that's a change in his tactics there. I mean, sitting, I mean, kneeling as opposed to just sitting. Because I think sitting is more radical than just than kneeling onto the ground. I mean, kneeling is a song, is a form of supplication, so to speak. It's like begging. I mean, long story, but different gestures produce different effects. So I guess the guy that joins him say, "Yo, man, I'll kneel with you, but I'm not just gonna sit with you." Because he probably said, "Cause I think that is disrespectful. Please." But anyway, well, you know, you got to, sometimes you have to compromise, right? But still, do what you got to do. Now, the article goes on to say that if they have no such record of equally vehement protests, no less critical than what they have waged against CAPE, well, perhaps it's time for them to sit down as well. Talk is cheap, especially when it is expediently wrapped in patriotism and the flag. In any case, no one has the moral, much less the political, standing to preach to black people about any obligation to honor our soldiers by way of adhering to some arbitrarily arrived at mode of patriotic behavior deemed mandatory during the playing of the national anthem at sports entertainment venues. It's become a tradition between now he's saying something that I hadn't known concerning the playing of the Star Spangled Banner at sporting events. He's saying that it became a tradition between World War I and World War II as a way of sports organizations demonstrating their patriotism in the face of widespread criticism of strong, healthy young men at home playing games while other men of their age were laying their lives on the line at war. So that's when the Star Spangled Banner began to be played as a supposed refutation, condemnation of sports figures playing a game while other young men their age are serving their country overseas and in wartime. Imagine that. Anyway, the article goes further to say, but wait a minute, I have overtalked the allotted time again. So I'm going to have to break off right there and go on into a record, playing one of our records here, one of our songs. And this is going to be another song from Mila J. And this one is entitled Don't. Again, from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Don't play with it, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. Gonna let somebody saw him next up. Be damn if I let him catch up. It's easy to see that you're fitter. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fucked you over cause you let him. Fuck him, girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, I'm just listening.
You just kept on playing games, and your love wasn't the same. And I don't know what to say, but what a shame. Another nigga tell her to come and save the day. Clock in, Superman, okay. The only one that got me feeling this way. And I think so far, baby, no propane. Yeah, got that good, he be doing his thing. I'ma keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear, I swear, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So down.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Mila J. entitled Don't from the Covergirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Excuse me. And we're still on the issue of Colin Kaepernick. It's a rather lengthy issue, and we'll see if it will still be being played in the media next week as well. We'll see what happens with this, and we'll see how far it's going to go as to what does take place with other players, black as well as white, because this issue that we are facing in this country is just not a black issue. It is both a black and white issue. That's just the way it is. It's a human issue, in essence. And those who have a conscience, and that conscience works, we'll see if they do decide to join with Colin Kaepernick in his protest. And we'll see what happens. So, moving right along, I'm still on this article here. I think it's a pretty decent article, this guy. That this guy wrote, this doctor. I have to keep referring back to his name. Let's see, what was this guy's name again? Harry Edwards. Yes, Dr. Harry Edwards. He says further here that still having said all this, it is nonetheless necessary that there should be due focus upon other, more patently subjective considerations. Though Cape is right, The argument indeed can be levied that what is right is not always appropriate. What is appropriate is not always best. And what is best is not always timely and wise. I think that's somewhat philosophical and something to be considered. That's me talking there as what this guy just said. Let me read that part again, what he said, because we need to know these things from people who say stuff like this. That's just like that idiot Trump talking about when it comes to black people. It don't even seem like. I know I'm not going to get to the issue of him, but that can be next week as well. But anyway, as I was saying, that idiot Trump talking about black people ought to vote for him because what do they have to lose? I mean, in a real sense, Donald Trump ought to be careful with that phrase, because that phrase, throwing that phrase around black people, that's like lighting a match, motherfucking, well, excuse my language, that's like lighting a match to dynamite. What do we have to lose? Tupac Shakur made a rap jam wherein he put those words in there. I ain't got nothing to lose, nothing to lose. Don't let black people really start thinking that thought. Nothing to lose. But anyway, I kind of lost my train of thought there. Yes, I got it back. I was going to read again what this guy here has said, which I said is somewhat philosophical. It leads, it begs room for thought, or it begs further thinking on what he's saying here concerning right. He says, though Cape is right, the argument indeed can be levied that what is right is not always appropriate. What is appropriate is not always best. And what is best is not always timely and wisely. He goes further to say that these subjective concerns also must inform this discourse and frame the questions germane here. But okay, I'm going to, interesting. I don't agree with any of that. I'll just say quickly, but neither here nor there, but it is somewhere. And he goes further to say, consequently, the discussion legitimately cannot be limited only to the substance and immediate visuals of what Cape is saying / doing, as if his words and actions are occurring in a vacuum, in isolation. The interrogation of Cape's words and actions must take into consideration the context and background development cited, compounded by the challenges of his historical era, with one presidential candidate openly mocking Gold Star parents and declaring that a U.S. senator and former prisoner of war is no military hero because heroes don't get captured. Talking about John McCain there, no doubt. And both candidates / parties openly accusing each other of being racist, catering to, among other things, racial interest groups and movements. He goes further to say that we must all consider as well that while black parents are having the conversation, you know, the conversation in quotes, that nonsense, with their sons and daughters about what to do when stopped by a cop, the sons and daughters of cops are having the conversation with their parents every day. They walk out of the house wearing that badge. Be careful. We want you to be safe out there and come home tonight. While we are voicing our opinions on police killings, we must be no less vocal on the madness of killing police. He is saying that. And I might have time to read into the show an article that Dr. Stacey Patton had written concerning the false equivalency of relating blacks killed by police and then police killed, because all police who are killed aren't killed by black people. It's a known fact, or studies been made, that mostly police officers when killed aren't killed by blacks but are killed by white criminals primarily. As quiet as it is kept. Anyway, it says here further that under the circumstances, again, I support Cape, this guy is saying that I support Cape in stating his opinions, the method and the vehicle that he has chosen to employ towards those ends, and his willingness to face the consequences for doing so. I do now and have all my life, more than anything else, abhorred silence in the face of injustice. In this regard, silence is evil's greatest and most consistently dependable ally. So, I have no problem with Colin Kaepernick also breaking his silence, standing up and declaring silence on injustice. No, not so long as I have this platform and anything to say about it. His problem is that he isn't saying enough. So as it began, so it ends, what this guy was saying. Interesting. But I would say also I happen to have seen a picture of this guy, and he's well into his 70s. And I will say, God bless him and his mindset. But then again, talking that talk as he was talking, no wonder he's lived so long and is in the position that he's in. And what am I referring to? In essence, I go back to what he said concerning, though Cape is right, the argument indeed can be levied that what is right is not always appropriate. How can that be? Well, I'll put it this way. There can be instances wherein that precept is correct, but I will say that in such a situation, that is the exception and not the rule. That's just the way it is. That's an exception and not the rule. Because because what is right is has got to always be appropriate. So I just read that again. What is right is not always appropriate. And he goes further to say, what is appropriate is not always best. And see, that's philosophic. And it might not mean nothing, because you have to think about those things. And what is best is not always timely and wise. Again, he's correct in one instance, but wrong in most instances, talking something like that. And that's where it falls back on what he's talking in that sense. It's the exception and not the rule. But with that said, we're going to have to go into another music break, because we're coming down to the end of the show. And we're going to have another song here from Mila J. This song is entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future, and also from the CoverGirl mixtape. And we'll be right back.
Yeah. Phone's blowing up right now, but I ain't tryna talk, I'm tryna feel the fire. All my bitches fucked up right now, but got the jewelry on me, now I'm tryna keep it tight. Now my nigga, he been tripping on me all week. Now I'm tryna get my mind off the shit, and you know what I need. Yeah, and I don't give a damn who sees you tryna be. Sipping on Dom Perignon for no reason. Popping tags up a echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I let her push the phone right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. He don't want no liquor cause he been drinking that dirty. Bring the eight spot in case my bitches with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me.
Talking to your friends like you usually do. Telling them I never spend time with you. It's hard to find the time we've been
sipping on Dom Perignon for no reason. Popping tags up a echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I let her push the floor right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. Bring the eight spot in case my bitches with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me. Diamonds, 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 diamonds on me dancing. Diamonds, 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 diamonds on me dancing.
And if you took it, you can vouch for me. I did it my way, you can vouch for me. I put the cocaine and the powder in the couch, homie. Whenever I step outside the house, I get the Glocky on me. Bad bitches wanna come by the paparazzi on me. I got so many bad bitches that I barely wanna. I'm barely paying attention, baby, I need substance. I know you spent some time putting on your makeup and your outfit, but
you know.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard the song from Mila J, her song entitled Diamond, featuring Drake and Future from the Cover Girl mixtape. You know, being honest concerning this song, well, Mila J, I just found out how to pronounce her name, not just found out, but about a month ago. I happen to have seen a video of her on Facebook. And she was talking about herself and the music she does, and I realized that she pronounced her name not Mila J, but Mila J. And also, even before then, Future, I wasn't sure, who that was or what it was. I had known that he was an active performer because I don't really follow a lot of music in this day. In a real sense, when I was following music, that was maybe, was damn near 20 years ago. Can I say 20 years ago? No. Like, it was like 20 years ago when Tupac Shakur was around. That was 96 when he left us or when he was taken from us. That's when I really stopped listening to, you know, current music or whatever, or contemporary music. And by being with Dollhouse Radio, I'm hearing current music. Interesting. But anyway, yeah, so that's Mila J, not Mila J, Mila J. Anyway, moving right along, I'm not going to be able to go into those other issues because they are really, how can I put it, intense is not the right word, but they're involved, and there's much to be spoken on those other issues, as was the Colin Kaepernick issue. We had the whole show on that in particular. But we gave out, well, I gave out a lot of information on that if it wasn't known by others who may have been listening to this or not listening to this, but have heard me talk about it tonight. Anyway, so again, moving right along, a miscellaneous issue I wanted to have brought into the show. It concerns Ellen DeGeneres, you know, that comedian, female comedian who happens to be also lesbian. It turns out that I got an article here that's entitled Ellen DeGeneres Defends Her Usain Bolt Tweet Some Claim Was Racist. And I'll read here the article, what they're talking about. It says here that talk show host Ellen DeGeneres defended herself on Tuesday after some claimed that a humorous Usain Bolt tweet sent out from her social media accounts a day earlier was racist. And, well, I'll go on to mention what it was. It had shown her riding on his back. It might mention that here in the article, but it showed her riding on his back, and people took that, a lot of black people in particular, took that as being racist and therefore offensive. And, well, reading more in the article here, it says, she says, I'm highly aware of the racism that exists in our country. It is the furthest thing from who I am. DeGeneres' popular Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts often feature funny images that have been altered to include her. On Monday, her account sent out a picture of her riding on Usain's Bolt's during Sunday's 100-meter semifinal with suggestions she liked to use the Jamaican sprinter world-class speed to get her errands done faster. People were saying it was racist because for a long time, for years, hundreds of years, whites have been seen to be on our backs, some, you know, putting their feet on our children as some kind of comforter. But okay, we're winding down to the last minutes of the show, and I want to throw in our last song of the show from our producer, Indaya Morrell. Let me pull it up here. Her song, our producer's song, Indaya Morrell, entitled You Don't Deserve Me. So we'll play that song as we're going out from the show. And I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back next week with other articles such as the Black Police and more on Donald Trump. So with that said, here we go. See you all next week. And this is Indaya Morrell's song, You Don't Deserve Me.
Thank you.